Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the October 1st edition of Commodity Week. Following the ending stocks figures a bit like a shell game, this week USDA showed us 300 million bushels of corn we thought had disappeared. It set the price of corn back by 3 weeks. Will our analysts want to call it the beginnings of a harvest low? We'll ask and find out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we were scheduled to talk to Joe Vaclavic. He may or may not be with us this afternoon. Our panelists in studio include Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, and Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group from Decatur, Illinois.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, let's open today's discussion with this question. Dan Zwicker, the September crop production report dropped ending stocks for this year and next year by about the same amount the quarterly grain stocks report put back into them Thursday. Corn futures dropped, as it happens, in the last 2 days to just about the price at which it was trading the day before the September crop report. What's low enough in your mind?
Well, we're in the liquidation phase right now, and my guess after a limit down move on Friday, there's going to be a lot of margin calls go out over the weekend. So we're going to see some more liquidation come into the marketplace there on Sunday night and Monday. This 465 where we closed at, I suppose you look at the charts, you're going to see kind of 450 probably as a key support level if this 460 doesn't hold. So based upon Friday's deal, I think we get down to this 450 area and then maybe begin to stabilize.
Wayne Nelson, let me give some further explanation to that three-week backing up. So if you look at corn futures, the December contract this week settled at 465 and three quarters. It was down 56 cents, by the way, for the week. The high was at 528 and three quarters, low at 465 again and three quarters. That was also the settlement. The September 9th price, which is the day before the crop production report and when we were still trading a 1.7 billion bushel carryout for this year, was $4.70 and three quarters cents. So about a 5 cent difference in price. December of next year, on the end of this week, was down 29 cents. It settled at 460 and three quarters. It was at 457 and a quarter when we were looking at a 1.4 billion bushel carryout on the day before the crop production report back in early September. And now we're looking at that same price again. The question again to you is, are we looking maybe at a harvest low somewhere in the near future?
Well, Todd, we would like to think that that's probably the, probably the case. And we have some feelings that we can find some support coming in here soon with the idea that the yields continue to be tremendously erratic. We know that we have some of the better corn from parts of Iowa, Nebraska, and areas like that that could bring our yields back or the average up a little bit. But Indiana, Illinois, Missouri all had some very, very varying yields and lower than expected. So we're looking for those yields to come on down if the USDA wants to be honest with what's going on there.
Let's take a look at some of those numbers that came in on the week from the United States Department of Agriculture. When they tallied up the ending stock or the quarterly grain stocks report at the end of the year, they now say that we've got about 300 more million bushel than they thought that was there. They also say that old and new crop stocks didn't get mixed. It's an interesting thought. You're inside Decatur at ADM. Do you think they're can you keep track of them at the terminals and the elevators, old and new crop, and how does it all get tallied?
Well, it's real difficult, especially in a year like what we've had this past year when we had the Ohio River Valley in full throttle harvest on middle part of August. And then when you total up all the harvest activity that we had prior to September 1, you could probably argue that we harvested maybe upwards of 500 million bushels prior to September 1. And my guess, the practicality of trying to keep the difference between old and new bushels, you don't know when that truck comes in, when they're full of bushels, you don't know if that's old bushels, farmers cleaning out of bin, or new bushels coming in from harvest. And then it all gets mixed into the elevator. I know the elevator managers try to fill out the form as accurately as they can, and realizing that they're supposed to try to determine the difference, but it's very difficult, I think, from a practical point of view. And my guess is that bushels of this new crop harvest got put into that ending stocks number.
Yeah, so just offhand, harvest at that date was 11% complete in the United States. So this is what Darrell Good suggested early in the week, and I make the jump that his numbers are correct and the USDA numbers at that point had been collected, and that's where he's getting them from. And the five-year average is at 7%, but it's really that last year's crop was in such tough condition and needed to be blended in that makes things unique for the way that crop got put out.
Well, Todd, you know, the survey comes, if you listen to Darrell's interview, it says they ask how much old corn do you have in the elevator and how much new corn do you have in the elevator. We feel that there was a very good chance that there was a substantial amount of bushels that came in, new crop, in low damage or zero damage, and we had high damage there, and we blended every bit of that out, trying to get some of the old corn out. And when the shipments of the last 3 weeks of August were made, most of the new corn was back out the door, and the bushels that were in the elevator were filled out correctly by most of the elevator managers as old crop bushels. That's one of the explanations as a possibility that could happen. That's that, the feeding ratio that Dr. Good talked about, where we upped the amount of feed usage for the fourth quarter as to relate back to how it was in the third quarter, is also probably where some of it came from, because we probably did not feed as much in the third quarter as the government alluded to. And, of course, we used those statistics to figure out the fourth quarter. They were probably overestimated also.
Well, this year, now you can compare those harvested acres and all this kind of stuff. When there's a clear break, it's easy. Far south, harvest maybe before September 1. But you really don't get into the fringe areas before September 1. It's just getting started. A lot of harvest in that Ohio River Valley really doesn't get going until Labor Day. This year, it got started in August 15th or so. So this is, and you had a lot of those elevators in those areas surveyed, and in the past years, it was easy for them to kind of determine which is old, which is new. But when we had the type of harvest activity that we had starting in mid-August throughout the Corn Belt, starting first down in the fringe areas, even Central Illinois was going full blast during the Farm Progress Show the last week of harvest. So there is very likely that there are some bushels that made it in, I know. But, you know, when USDA comes out and has an interview and defends their position, you know you're in trouble. because they have become the issue. Like I said, I don't want to be critical, and I want to point out to everybody that everything that USDA does is an estimate. It is not an actual accounting. So, you know, when you get into estimates, you get into margin of errors. But clearly, when you look at the June number, you look at the September 1 number. Now, the thing of it is, this is all going to get corrected if the people that are correct, thinking that we brought some new crop bushels, we took it into last year's crop year, then you're going to see some surprises probably in the December 1st stocks number and production number that's not going to be released until, you know, first part of January sometime.
I suppose it wouldn't be too hard to come up with. Let's see, if we were at 11% instead of 7, that's an extra 4% on 13 billion bushels. Even if you round it down to 10 to make it easy, that's 400 million bushels. And if it's in the marginal area or in the fringe areas and pretty marginal, you could get 300 million out of it, I suppose.
Well, I think so. I think, you know, trying to defend the practicality of determining what's old bushels and new bushels this year, I think, is going to be a little difficult.
Okay, so I, the number's the number, at least.
Right.
Well, at least for a week.
Well, no, the trade's going to have to live with that number because it's not necessarily going to get corrected if their suspicions are right or if their skepticism is right until the January report. And by the time January comes around, we're trading a different situation. That is what's tipped the scales because your balance sheets are going to look maybe more bearish than what they normally would have if they wanted to count that. You don't know. But see, that we're going to count double bushels in here. We're going to say, okay, this is how much we carried in, and then USDA is going to come up with a production number. But that's actually 200 of those bushels are actually being counted in the old crop year. See, so you're going to double count. So the balance sheets are going to look bearish, and that takes in enthusiasm out of the marketplace, especially after you've had the big run up in prices and the big build up in open interest. So you're going to see liquidation pressures now kind of take hold and work, and it's going to take some time to work it out.
Where did the synthetic land on Friday?
465 to 465 and a half is where synthetics
– right where it actually finished.
You know, where they come in, Dodd. So it wasn't a way oversale at that point in time. We're more scared of the expanded limits and of the amount of margin calls that will be put on the people that have been long. There was a lot of longs that were added that are in trouble now. Most of them are not bought under the price where we closed today. So there will be the Board of Trade – increased margin call, $200 on spec positions and $150 on hedge positions on Friday as it was. And also with the expanded limits come Monday, there could be another expansion of that that would also add to margin calls. And generally when they increase margins on any grains, that's a negative signal just to knock some people out because the amount of capital up like that. I think one of the other big things is we saw fund liquidation with the rumors, and of course I'm not a fund manager and I can't tell you what they are doing, but they said they were moving from corn and beans and wheat into metals and currencies and a few things along the line because we seem to have taken the bloom off the grains as of this point in time with the extra carryout. So they are moving some of that money over there, and that also is very damaging because we were looking for first of the month purchases, and instead of purchases, we're seeing liquidation.
When did our rally start in the corn market? How long ago?
Last week of June.
And then we got through, first couple of weeks of September. So, how bearish can this actually be?
Remember we started this in late June, I think somewhere around 343. Or 324 on the lead option. I think December was 343. And we took a lead option now all the way to 528, I think, 528 and three quarters. That was a DEIS high and a lead futures high. Now, interesting, technically, that was a 50% retracement back toward the 2008 high. And 50% retracements in corn have a tendency to be hard spots on the way up and hard spots on the way down. So it just kind of stopped in its tracks at 50%, and we started getting some liquidation. And the market was ready for a setback to start with, but then when USDA came out with their big shocker, that just kind of sent shockwaves through the system. And in today's computer-driven trade, it's just like dominoes, and everybody wants out the barn door at the same time.
Do you think that in our part of the world, not across the Midwest, But in our part of the world where harvest has proceeded quickly, producers have half of their corn crop sold?
I would say because of early sales that there's a good chance that there's a lot of them approaching 50% sold. Now, I don't think that I don't think hardly any corn was sold over the last 2 to 3 weeks. Do you, Dan?
Probably not. There was some pickup. There was some corn sales, but probably the last week or so, probably not a real big bunch. But, yeah, farmers, you know, they especially here in the East Central Illinois area, West Central Indiana, that was counting on some bigger yields, there's many cases where they are oversold. They had to buy back some of their contracts. We had several market advisory firms basically starting to sell this corn anywhere from 380 futures scaled up all the way to 420. And then, you know, the market goes a dollar higher on them. So we've got a lot of people that sold up at much lower levels. You just look at the advisory services track records, and most of them are all down there in that $4, $4.10 range, give or take a dime.
You're listening to the October 1st edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Our guest in studio include Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group, who you just heard, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll be back in just 2 minutes.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The unusually warm September weather was pushed out of Illinois and the Midwest last weekend as a strong cold front marched through the region. Temperatures this week were several degrees below normal, in contrast to the much above normal weather last week. Minimum temperatures reached the low 40s in a number of locations this week, while daytime temperatures struggled to reach the mid and upper 60s on Sunday and Monday, finally pushing over 70 degrees on Tuesday and the rest of the week. Despite the period of very warm weather the middle part of September, temperatures across Illinois will end up just about average in most locations. The period of hot weather was offset by a cool start and a cooler than normal end to the month. The last rain in Illinois was last Saturday night and Sunday when an upper-level system rotated through Illinois. High pressure kept skies sunny and the weather dry the rest of the week. September precipitation will end near to well above normal, generally in the northwestern two-thirds of Illinois, but less than 50% of normal in the far southeast. It looks like the first full week of October should be as nice as the last week of September, so harvest activities should be able to continue without any weather-related interruptions. Temperatures will remain near to below normal until the end of the week, when it may start warming up a bit. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the October 1 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Our panelists in studio today include Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Joe Vaklovic is not available. Let's take a look at some of the rest of the numbers as they finished up, and we'll go back through the corn numbers today. December corn, a 528 and three quarters top on the week. It's bottom and a final price for the week at $4.65 and three quarters, down 56 cents. December of next year at 460 and three quarters, down 29 cents. December wheat is 731 top for the week, the low at 642 and a half, settled 65 cents lower at $6.55. July wheat at 702, down 42 and a half. November beans, $11.44 the high, the low at 1053 and a half on the week. The weekly trade settled 69 cents lower. Remember, these are Friday to Friday numbers, down 69 at $10.57. November of next year at 1043 and a half, down 54 and three quarters. And December oats at 333 and a quarter were off 18 and three quarters from the livestock side of the CME group. Nearby October live cattle, 97.80 the high, the low at 95.75, settled 95.95, 7.5 cents lower. October feeder cattle actually managed to gain $3.12.5 this week, up 111.80, that is. And lean hogs, a 76.37.5 settlement price, finished $2.65 lower. Dan Zwicker, what should a producer make of this past week's trade? What might happen on Monday and Tuesday of next week, and then the crop production report that comes up on Friday of next week? And how do you position yourself to stay calm to begin with, and should you, or do you need to panic in some frame?
Well, I think at least at this point, seeing where the market closed at on Friday, I don't think panic is the any need to panic is over with. Now it's probably grin and bear it here for a few days. My guess is that this current decline will begin to stabilize sometime probably Tuesday or so. And then we'll look at then the market may hold steady, might even see a little short covering rally going into USDA's report. The market still has not seen the lowest production estimate, and my guess is that you will see another downward adjustment production, and that's going to be positive. And the key here is just stabilizing the financial situation. But there is no doubt about it. Being a technician, you're staring at some major weekly reversals to the downside. You're seeing your momentum indicators rolling down from extremely overbought levels. So it does not look good that this market is going to come back to the highs that we saw this week anytime soon. That doesn't mean that they won't go back to them, but it looks to me, from a technical point of view, that we probably got two or three weeks of chopping around and trying to do some healing of this market, unless there's another major surprise that comes in to the complex somewhere along the line.
And in the midst of this, Iowa gets a good start on its corn crop, I suppose, and that always puts pressure on the marketplace.
It does, Todd, because there's a lot of corn out there to move. There's, you know, not generally the basis levels out there, and it is sort of a glut on the market as we go. I think that it's going to be more important that not just they start, though, that is what sort of yields they do report to us. I think it's going to be very important if they're off like the Illinois and Indiana yields are, or if they're above what they're expecting. And I think that'll be one of the main things that drives this market, whether it inches on lower with the technicals or whether it stabilizes and starts working on back with the fundamentals.
Speaking of bases, it narrowed up this week from week to, over the week by about 14 cents, I know, at the Ludlow Co-op elevator because I asked that on Friday afternoon. I don't know. What did Decatur do? Do you know?
Oh, basis narrows when you get this kind of decline, because what happens is country movement activity shuts down and your daily normal consumption needs to take place. So the basis automatically will narrow in something like this.
I think that the basis is narrowed in central Illinois a lot faster than it has in Indiana because harvest is wrapping up as far as the corn goes over here. And I know that Decatur was paying 10 over as of Friday morning, so that's not what you generally see for your bid on October 1st, is it, Dan?
No.
Well, there's at least a silver lining somewhere in the midst of that. 10 over sounds like not such a bad deal when you're in the midst.
Well, basis traders, you know, it makes good trading for basis trading, and it also puts a lot of pressure on basis traders, too. But we're talking pennies here and bases, and you know we lost nickels and dimes and quarters in the futures market. And sometimes I think farmers pay too much attention to bases, and you know they're basically a flat price seller, and that's what they should be looking at. But yeah, if you want to see silver lining in this week's break, you would say, well, you saw some base improvement.
Okay.
The silver lining that I think that we saw or could look at was the idea that they were willing to narrow the basis in that much at this point in the time or this early in the year. That does say that there is some commercial demand out there for the corn and that the yields just weren't as good because, in general, as harvest is wrapped up in Decatur, bins are doggone full.
Well, and I think this spells well, too. This helps the argument The stocks number is not correct. Is that if we had that much corn around, you would not have seen this strong a basis over the past 30 days. So, and you know, I'm primarily a technician, but I also work the fundamentals. And through my career and watching markets and stocks reports are usually already priced into the market, and they usually explain why the market was performing the way it was performing, but in this instance it did not, because it showed something different, and I think a lot of it is because new crop bushels got pulled back.
USDA gets to try again next Friday. Informa says they'll come up with something around 160 bushels to the acre for corn, though the company itself is lower than that, in that 158 range. What do you think?
I think that I have to agree with Informa. We generally don't see, because of the high crop ratings that we had, that the government will pull away from their yield until they're proved wrong. And we've got too many bushels out west where the best crop is still left, we think, for them to go down to the 158 that we believe it's really at.
And they said, well, go ahead.
No, nothing.
Okay. And so then on the bean side, they came out with just a 44.7, just a 44.7, a record-setting 44.7. But that's what USDA is already at. Most people who have been in beans, with the exception of some areas north of here,
we would say if they were going to do anything and look at what's happening, that number would have to go up, Todd. The beans have been just outstanding in most areas. We're hearing some tremendous yields. We're hearing the highest ever beans I've ever had from many of our customers. And I think that the beans definitely, the breeding in them has shown a lot harder or better forth than the triple stack corn did.
Yet we have $10.50 beans, which still amazes me, I think.
Well, we may not have it after Monday. Who knows? when you start losing 50 cents a day, you can go down pretty quick. Well, I think it's demand. Just look at the weekly export sales again this past week, 1.2 million tons, 60-some billion bushels. So, and that just continues to be a major factor. The other thing is that, maybe the supply is not as great as what everybody thinks. I do know that talking to farmers and elevator managers, man, these bean yields are tremendous. At least these early beans were. Now, I'm beginning to hear more normal stuff now as we get further up north and into some of the later beans, more normal type yields, but they're all still very good at this point.
Local elevators were not taking beans on Friday. Over in the Newmarket area anyhow, Todd. There was three elevators, and I had three farmers in because they couldn't deliver beans and nobody'd take them.
Why?
They're full.
Full.
Just full.
There's piles, bean piles. This is totally unheard of to have bean piles. We usually talk about corn piles. We got bean piles this year.
I suspect most will not do much with corn sales at this point. Should they do something with their soybean sales?
Well, each farmer has to make their own individual judgment. I don't like to get into flat rice recommendations, but when you look at yields, you look at the dollar that they could gross, I guess my question is why have any stress over bean prices with that type of per acre gross? I mean, we grow it to sell it, take our money, then go to Florida for the winter.
I have to agree with Dan that we've been at levels up here, and when we were close to $11 on the board and $10.50 cash, I was telling them, sell beans, sell beans, sell beans.
Any final word? And we'll start with you, Dan Zwicker.
It's interesting that the market continues in a counter-seasonal pattern. This is the time of year beans normally make their harvest lows and turn up. And when you start looking at price action this past week, it almost tells you that we were making harvest highs when we were supposed to be making harvest lows, and we're ready now to turn down counter-seasonal. Corn is kind of in a sideways pattern between first part of October and first part of December, so corn may turn into a choppy sideways pattern before the seasonal actually turns up in December, and we may be turning down by then.
And Wayne Nelson.
You know, we're going to see this corn market be under margin call selling come Monday, but we look for a little rebound on Tuesday.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio included Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, and Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group.